What's going on, everybody? Welcome to the Tokusatsu World Tour Podcast, your favorite podcast where you like to hear a guy named Jem and a guy named Hawk talk about Tokusatsu. And that is a fact. My name is Jem, one of your co-hosts for tonight. Your other co-host is my dear friend. You could say he's the Zordon to my Alpha, Hawkilles. What's going on, man?
I don't know whether that's... Are we talking about Zordon and Alpha in this movie or Zordon and Alpha in the original series?
Kind of like our own. We're like our own take of the characters, you know?
All right. Reboot it a third time. Let's go.
it's us this time.
Jem, how you doing, man? How's your week been?
Dude, it's been good, man. Kind of just like busy with life stuff outside of content creation. So that's always fun. I went to the good old dentist today. That's something if you've been listening
that's
to the podcast.
That's never fun.
I was going to say, if you're a fan of the podcast, you know I love going to the dentist. Yeah, and then aside from that, it's been chill, skiddy. I was telling you before the podcast, my mom was up just like chilling here for a couple months. She lives in Puerto Rico. So when she came up, she was just having just like a nice little vacay for herself. And we said goodbye yesterday. And now I'm just back on the grind, man, just trying to do one thing after another. Yeah, dude, how's your week been?
Boop, boop. My week's been pretty good. To answer everyone's question in the chat, yes, we are talking about the 2017 Power Rangers movie yes. during this stream. My week's been good. We took Baby Rex to the park yesterday for the first time, but we had like a picnic. That was really good.
That sounds amazing.
But we had planned early in the week, like, hey, let's go to the beach for the first time. So we're going to the beach for her first time tomorrow. And my wife was like, hey, I want to go shopping today. I was like, cool. Before the podcast starts at 6, just be home by 6.
Right.
She rolls up to the house 5:20 with just the most beach paraphernalia I've ever seen. Beach balls, sand pails, like the whole nine yards. So
you guys are ready.
We're ready, yeah. And Baby Rex is going to be 5 months old just staring at us playing with these things.
Dude, 5 months. You're
5 months
five
old.
Months.
She's about to be 6 months.
Oh,
yeah.
Oh my gosh. We were talking about that the other day, Fee and I. We were like, wait, how old is Charlie?
I was talking to my baby about that today. I was like, hey,
how
bro.
Old are you, dude?
You're like almost 6 months yeah. old.
Are you
like
ready to be one whole year, dude?
Yeah.
Are you ready?
Good job, Charles.
That's
come on.
So funny. How is, where is she at in like baby phase? Is she crawling yet? Or is she just like moving around sporadically?
Moving around a lot more, rolling a lot.
Rolling a lot.
She
That's
just
it.
Started eating, solid food like consistently. Before it was like, I don't know if anyone watching the stream has ever tried to get a baby to like eat food, but they don't understand how mouths work and they don't understand how to swallow things when they're like you're spoon feeding them. So the first couple times we tried to feed her, it was like in and it was out just instantly. So you put the spoon in and then you just chill there for a second, out, okay, shovel it back in, chill there, all right, back in.
Damn, just parent problems over
we
here.
We take so much for granted, being like fully able adults.
People that can actually use a spoon. Come on, yeah. Charlie.
Exactly. And I think about it more and more. I'm like, damn, one day, Charlie, you're going to be able to get up and poop, like, on your
yeah,
own.
Absolutely. I you know what I was excited about this week? I was excited about the release that Akiba Ranger got a couple days ago, like yesterday or something. They got
yesterday.
Sentai Gear release, and they got a Ranger Key release in one set. Shout out to Akiba Ranger. They're like kind of official, even if their name is the unofficial Sentai.
So. Dude, they're in Senki, and
yeah.
they have
yeah.
this really like they're official now.
When they were in Senki, I was like, you know what? They got to be releasing something for Akiba Ranger if they just throw them in this movie, you know? So that was pretty exciting for me. I'm not buying anything. There's so many things on Toku Collectibles that if I wanted, I could just jump, nom on. But like, dude, oh, I don't have the money. I don't.
Shout out to Toku Collectibles.
Oh, there it is.
Sending the good stuff, the good goods. Yeah, the build of ice stamp just came out. I do want to shout out to Akiba Ranger because Josh from Toku Topics actually brought it up in his video about them. They are the first team to get a full team of Sentai Gears.
What, a full team of Sentai Gears?
Yeah, there's a Sentai Gear for each one of them. And they're the first team for that to be a thing.
Right, because everybody else just has the Red Ranger
yep.
for like their whole team. That's really sick. No! Oh my god, no, I can't. There's that, and I don't know if you saw, but they're releasing a Zenaku figure, like a Shodo.
Yes,
so
I
thought that
it.
Was cool because we were talking about him last week with Lambo. Just like so many things that I just want to be like, put that in my freaking cart, man. Put that in my cart. I just can't. I can't right now.
And then you look in your bank and you're like, all right, take this out, take this out.
Yeah, exactly. I'm looking at stuff that, like, on the shelves to sell right now. So
if you could sell one thing behind you, what would it be?
Right,
like, let's
now?
Just say, yeah, like right now, drop of a hat, they were like, hey, you have to sell one thing in your collection. What is it going to be?
It's our sixth Ranger Morpher for Ryu Soldier / Dino Fury, the blue gun. Mm-hmm. For the sixth Ranger, that's my number one thing that I'm trying to sell right now. If anybody needs that morpher for Ion from Dino Fury, I got that morpher. It's just the Ryu Soldier version. But that's like the one thing that I'm like, man, if anybody just wants it, that'd be sick. Oh wait, we're also selling the fucking Gaim CSM. That's something that's like, oh, still
the one thing that you've been mentioning for months.
I've been trying to sell this for months. So if anybody's looking for a Gaim CSM, hit me up. I guess that one, actually. Yeah,
Fee says Ion is so lame. You know what? We've talked about talking about Dino Fury eventually. Season 2 made Ion my most hated character in that show.
I no comment. I can't get into that right now. I can't. I was trying to be positive this episode. I was like, man, I'm really trying to speak positive about this Power Rangers movie. And then y'all said Ion, and this could go south really quick.
I think in terms of my collection, I think the only thing that I would really sell, because everything else just kind of sits there, like it's all display stuff,
right?
But like the Sword Driver, I guess it's not only is it like I don't use it much, it just takes up a lot of room.
Honestly, dude, that's the other thing. I have two of those right now, and that's the other thing I would sell. It's like
you also have the big one.
The Seiken Sword. Yeah, no, that I wouldn't sell. But like the Seiken Sword Driver, like we have two of those. So like if I was to sell something else, I'd probably sell our second Seiken Sword Driver for sure.
Jackie says no love for Ion. Honestly, me, we'll get into it. Probably a year from now.
Can I just say, Jackie, this? I wanted to love him. I really did, and that's all I'll say for now.
While we're talking about Toku Collectibles, I did want to bring it up to you, because we haven't talked like all week, which is rare. Did you see the Thouser Jacker extension?
You bet I did, dude. I was like, damn, because like I'm already eyeing the Gekido one, I'm already eyeing the Hayate one, because Ren, obviously. And then he was like, yeah, we're just gonna do it from Thouser now, like we're just gonna do it from 01. And I was like, wait, you're just going off the grid now, not even just Saber, we're just doing anything.
The Gekido one was, I looked at it and I was like, wow, that's kind of a big sword. And then the Thouser Jacker one, he posted the comparison, I was like, this is gigantic. Like,
dude, I have to see it to believe it. Like, there's no way that it's going to be like a whole thing. I don't know. I can't wait, but I'm
because when it shows the toy one, it's like a stub. It's like barely a dagger.
It's a nub. It's just like, hey, let me poke you.
Yeah, and then the extension looks like you can joust with it. It's just huge.
Can I just say, I'm not trying to shade them at all, because I know they probably get it from like a third party or something, but like, how is this going to, because with the other ones, I kind of got it. Like, you take off the one part, you add the longer piece to Gekido. Same thing with Suzune. But I don't know how this is going to work for the Thousand Jacker. Like, how is that middle part going to be super? I just don't know. I don't know how it's going to work. Because the other thing is that it has the needle aspect or whatever, where you can like pull it out and then like push it in. Yeah. So is that going to be a thing that you can do? I just have so many questions, honestly.
I was thinking the same thing, because for Gekido, I think it is, you can see where you put it, like, slides on top of it. Yeah. And you can see the small Gekido inside the big one. Whereas Thousand Jacker, if you look at those two pictures comparison, it's very different after the hilt. Like,
Exactly. Because like, it's not even like we're replacing a blade. It's like a whole ass, the whole thing is the sword, essentially.
Yeah.
So it's, I don't know how they're going to make that work, but I'm definitely intrigued. I'm interested.
Toku Collectibles is definitely trying to make us all broke.
Dude, every week I'm just,
I can't like, even blame Toku Collectibles. I have to blame Premium Bandai at this point.
The Premium Bandai, Toei, everybody that's just like, hey, we'll just sell this now and we'll sell this. And we're all just like, yeah, I would fucking buy that. Of course I would buy that. You know?
I will say, shout out to them for combining all the Akiba Rangers shit. I think that was really cool.
Yeah, of not like, making doing, them two different sets.
Yeah, of doing this, the gears and the keys at the same time.
Can I say, I wish they had done that with the post Gokaidra keys. Like, I wish those post Gokaidra keys were in the big red set that came out. But they
I think it's crazy that they're not.
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, they separated the 35 and then they did the post Gokaidra. But I wish they had just done like a big set, because that would have been, we wouldn't have bought it because money, but I think it would have been better.
Also, very surprised that there's not a Dawn Brothers gear in the Akiba Ranger.
Oh, stuff. Interesting. Or because
the Dawn Blaster has an Akiba Ranger sound.
Oh, does it?
Yep.
So there's not. Oh, okay. They should have done that. They should have just done an Akiba Ranger Avatar gear.
Yeah, because you can use the Sentai gears in the Avatar or in the Dawn Blaster, right. So yeah, it makes the same sounds.
Yeah, exactly. Maybe yeah. This is their cop-out. They're just like, hey, we'll just do the Sentai gears, and they can just put it in the Dawn Blaster if they really want to.
Somebody has a collection, Josh, looking at you. Somebody has a collection of like all the Sentai gears lined up, and they just like put the Akiba Ranger in there, like, and then they look at the Avatar gears, and there's just one blank spot. God damn it!
It's like fucking Timmy Turner's dad. He's like, and this is where I would put my Akiba Ranger Avatar gears if I had them. One thing I know they're gonna bring it out at some point, but we're definitely gonna get that Veil driver, like the fucking Demon's driver, but the first version of whatever you want to call it. That has to be coming out soon, and I'm sure that's gonna be premium Bandai too.
I talked about it on stream yesterday. I don't think that's coming out until late Revice. You remember the Yodan changer? We saw it like super early in Kira Major because Takamichi used it.
Yes.
But then it didn't come out until like the last couple episodes because it was Yodana's thing and she had those sounds that like, I forgot the dude's name.
Yeah.
Yeah. It had those sounds that tied to like the very end game of the thing. I think the Veil Driver has some sounds like that.
I think, no, that's a great reason. I was also thinking because we got the... what is it called? Noroshi, Reika's sword. Mm-hmm. And we ordered that while the show was still going, but we didn't get it until Revice started. You know, like that came late. So I feel like it's that situation where, like, hey, they're like, hey, it's in the show. We're here, but you're not going to get this bad boy until the show's over, bucko. So keep waiting.
That's the Durandal and Sabella swords are so crazy to me because they're just like, hey, these are up at the same time. They're coming at the same time, but also, we're not releasing them until the end of the show.
You're not even getting them until you're done with these characters. Get ready.
Till you're tired of them. Order them now before you realize they say Onizama a million times.
They're really like, order it now while you still love it and you'll pay me for it.
Exactly.
Make sure you order it.
By the time you don't love it, it's already in the mail. Don't worry.
I was going to say, it's already shipped out by the time you don't want it anymore and you can't return it.
It's funny. I was checking eBay for the Demon's Driver yesterday. Mm-hmm. $250.
Yeah.
So if you wanted to sell it by the time it got there, you could.
That's true. Hey, that's a good chunk of money.
Get a Henshin video out of it and then post it up.
That's true. You could. I could.
Jem, what are we talking about today?
Today.
Besides our broke-ass wallets.
Today we are talking about the critically acclaimed Power Rangers 2017. Film. I'm not even going to call it a movie. It's a film.
The seminal classic.
Yeah.
Saban's Power Rangers. We don't do films much here, but we thought, hey, Power Rangers, 5 years old. Everyone and their moms did a podcast or a video about this 2 weeks ago when it was actually the actual five-year anniversary.
Yeah.
But hey, we're the Tokusatsu World Tour. We never claimed to be a bullet train. Yeah. But... we're a train that gets there eventually. We just take our time.
And it's still the same year that the movie came out.
It's so still the five-year anniversary.
We're still in the frame of it all. So
if we're going by Toku rules, we could do this podcast next year and we could still call it the five-year anniversary.
We could wait another 5 years and do like a 10-year after anniversary stream and people would be like, yeah, that's the same.
The 10-year after the five-year, not the 15-year.
Exactly. We waited an extra 10 years after today.
I just saw the other day some people were like, oh, Sentai debuts 47 years ago. Everybody clap it up. I was like, wait, but we're on 46. What are you talking about? Like,
dude,
I don't know how time works.
I know we started talking about the movie, but I just wanted to say I went on Twitter today for the first time in like a couple days, and everyone was like, yeah, writer anniversary, Sentai anniversary. And I was like, wait, guys, what did I miss? Did I just miss a whole party? Like, what? People were sharing pictures of their especially Michael Tokuvian. I saw him, he was sharing his collection, and I was like, yo, we're sharing collections, guys? Why did I freaking miss this? That sounds like fucking like my kind of fun.
You take the good with the bad with Twitter. You either miss the good stuff or you experience both.
It's like, you know what? I'll just take this one because like obviously I wasn't on, so I'm gonna miss out on it. But I just didn't know that we were just celebrating this week.
Let's get to the rundown. And I want to start out with how people like to measure movies nowadays, and that's Rotten Tomatoes. The tomato meter for Saban's Power Rangers is sitting pretty at a 51%, which is more than 50.
That's good.
Yeah, it's in the upper half. So
I'll take it.
Audience score is 65%, which I do want to say, I remember when this movie came out, and I was much more, I saw all my friends say they loved it and all the reviews say they hated it.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Not they loved it, but like, hey, that was a good movie. That was awesome. Yeah. Whereas like all the reviews I read were like 3 out of 5 or 3 out of 10. Not great.
I don't know if I was super into the reviews back then when it came out. I remember I was in culinary school at the time. Sophie and I had just started dating, I think, or something like that.
So or you maybe wanted like nothing to do with Rotten Tomatoes. You wanted fresh tomatoes.
Yeah, it wasn't even on my mind. But I remember we went to go see it, or maybe I went to go see it first, because I will say this. I was going to say it at some point. I've seen this movie 7 times in the theater, and that's because like I willingly wanted to. Like, No, that's amazing. The fact that you saw it more than once means that, hey, it's not that bad.
I was one of the people that was like, hey, if I see this movie more than once, it will succeed. So I need to see it a lot. Yeah.
Like, I solely will save this movie.
Exactly.
I get it. But yeah,
how much did it make? Let's go, babe. We got to go again.
Wait, hold on. Second weekend. I remember I went into the theater and I saw this kid from culinary class, and we weren't like close friends or friends at all. We were kind of just like classmates. And then I remember we didn't say anything to each other, but then the next day in class, he was like, yo, dude, I saw you at the Power Rangers movie. And I was like, hell yeah, man. I had to be in there. And he was like, what'd you think of it, man? I thought it was really cool. And I was like, dude, I loved it. I thought it was really cool, blah, 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 whatever. And he was like, yeah, man, I haven't watched Power Rangers since back in the day, but I really dug the movie. So I was like, damn, the fact that like this guy that like I didn't really know personally, you know, just from school seemed to enjoy the movie. I was like, there's hope there. But we didn't get anything afterwards. So spoiler alert.
Toku Custom in the chat says, hello there. Question for you two. Do you think Hasbro will reveal the newest Power Rangers team/series after Dino Fury during Fan Fest Tuesday, which is coming up on April 14th, I believe.
Actually, you know what?
It's sometime soon. I just saw it. Yeah, go for it.
My answer is kind of basic. And thank you for the question. I don't think we're going to get anything other than Lightning Collection stuff or like Zap stuff, like the Zord Ascension Project. I don't see stuff about the new season being announced, but I hope I can eat my shorts right now, later on. You know what I mean?
I hope I can eat my shorts later.
You know what I mean? You guys know what I mean? Eat my own words. Eat my shorts. Yeah, that's fine. We'll
keep talking about it. I'm going to go to Josh's YouTube and see when his live stream is set for.
My whole thing is that like every Fan Friday that I've watched the live stream for has just been a Lightning Collection show off type situation. It's just like, hey, here's this Lightning Collection, and which I'm down to see the new ones because I'm always hoping for something that isn't in like the Zordon era. Like I always want something from the Disney era or hell, even some Neo Saban stuff. Like I was really waiting on Yellow Beast Morphers for the longest time. But it's stuff like that where it's like, man, I don't want to get my hopes up because if I do and then I go watch the live stream and they don't say anything about the newest season, I'm just going to be like, damn, Fan First Friday suck. I hate them. But if I'm just like, hey, you know what? I don't think anything's going to happen. And then something does happen, then I'm hyped. Then it's like, they got me, dude. They got me when I wasn't expecting it.
Yeah. April 12th, next Tuesday. I'm ready. First Tuesday, 12 p.m. is Power Rangers. 11 a.m. is Transformers. I'm going to be optimistic about it and go on the other side and say we at least get a tease of what next season is.
I would love it, but I don't see it happening.
I say we at least get a logo. Fingers crossed. I was going to say, I highly doubt we get any movie news at all.
No,
I don't think that's, I think that's a year off.
That's the other thing. It's a good time to talk about this because we're talking about the last movie that came out, but there hasn't been any like build up to this other movie. And, like, isn't it supposed to come out in, like, 2023 or something?
I've heard a lot of rumors, okay?
Yeah, no. That's what I'm saying. Like, I've heard a couple things where it was supposed to come out within the next couple years. But, like, there's no teases. There's nothing to, like, I don't know. Like, I personally haven't been reading into, like, rumors or, like, seeking out rumors or anything like that. So I don't even have an inkling of what this new movie is about. Because I heard they're not going with the situation where they're going back to the past. Apparently, they're doing something else. And, like, I just feel like there should be like things to talk about, but like there isn't.
Yeah.
So like with the new season, as far as the new season goes, even if we get like a name, Like if they're like Power Rangers, blah, 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 I would be surprised, honestly.
That's I think we only get a name. That's where I'm at.
I would love that. I think that would be a win for sure. But
and if the name is Quantum Continuum, me and Jem will guzzle hot sauce right here on stream.
Bro, I will go through physical pain for that. I hate that idea. I hate that if that's the next thing that they do. Oh my God.
Before we like really get into like the rundown for the movie, because we do it with every other series. So Jem, where are you at with Power Rangers? What was your introduction to it, I guess? What was your season? Also, Toku Custom in the chat is asking if you could lead any team of Power Rangers, which would it be?
Interesting. If I could lead any existing team, let's see, any existing team, I feel like I could learn a lot from the Jungle Fury Rangers. I just like their vibes a lot, and personally I feel they could use some more people of color, and I could bring some nice spice into their team. So I think that could be cool.
Jem's like, they're cooking, probably not great. I can spice it up.
Yo, let's get some like Latino pizza in there. Let's get some other type of pizza up. I don't know how to make birria anything, but we can get birria pizza up in there. You know what I mean? That could be cool. But no, I think Jungle Fury would be cool. I think Lost Galaxy is another cool option. I love the Quasar Sabers. So if I could wield one of those bad boys and fight next to those guys in Magna Defender, I think that would be really sick. My history with Power Rangers kind of obviously goes back to when I was a child, a literal baby, because I just grew up in a household where my brother was in love with the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, Mighty Morphin Power Rangers. So like toys were around already. There was VHSs already in my house. So like whenever they needed me to like not be around or be distracted, they would put on a VHS of like a set of episodes of Mighty Morphin. So like I got into Power Rangers that way and kind of just never left, honestly. Like I watched every season as I grew up. When they changed from networks to network, I was there and just like trying to keep up with it. So when I heard that they were doing a movie in 2017, I was like, damn, this is exciting. Cause like we haven't had a movie like this in the movie theaters since Turbo. And like that movie is like kind of canon. It's kind of not canon. Like Dark Spectre is also, what's his name? Like, what's up with that? Like, it's the
Malagor.
Thank you. It's like, why are we doing this right now? Like, why do we have to reuse this suit? So like, there are those other movies where like I have more questions than I am like excited about them. But then there's this movie where it's like supposed to be like its own thing. It's supposed to be like a nice fresh take on it. So like I was kind of excited for it, being the Power Rangers fan I've always been. But what about you, dude?
MMPR is my first memories. Like I have an older stepbrother who loved Power Rangers. I was born in 92. So like mm-hmm. Power Rangers started airing in 93. Mm-hmm. And I remember vividly watching like season one, Mighty Morphin Power Rangers. The VHSs. He always got, this is where we were different. I was a morpher person. I always wanted the morphers. He always wanted Megazords. But then there came a certain point in my life. I was like, wait, why does this fool have the Falcon and Tiger Zord? And I have the Gold Ranger staff. Like, I want the Falcon and Tiger Zord. What the hell?
Get on that Zord vibe.
Yeah, exactly. Like, I know those are way more expensive than this thing. Like,
right.
But I was like die hard. I there's video at my parents' wedding of me just it's the ear like over and over again as like a 3-year-old. But that's where I was at with Mighty Morphin, and I stayed on until probably around the what's before Dino Thunder?
Ninja Storm.
So I fell off at Ninja Storm, jumped back on for Dino Thunder, and then just fell off after that until more recently and stuff, and started going back and learning more about it and everything. But I always like kept in touch with it. Like, okay, this is the next season, or this is the how people are reacting to the next season. But I was like ride or die. I was the kid who was like, hey, Justin's cool as shit because Justin is me. Like, I don't understand why anyone hates on Justin because I'm a child.
Guys, I'm the new Blue Ranger.
I'm the new Blue Ranger. Turbo, absolutely love Turbo. Mighty Morphin Power Rangers movie, watch that shit on repeat. Like, the VHS not work anymore.
Can I say, you're just talking about Turbo right now. I have because I have all the movies on DVD. For all the audio listeners, I'm showing off my DVD of the Power Rangers movies. But just talking about that scene right now, like, as much as I don't like Blake Foster as a person and an actor, like, the fact that I can watch that movie as an adult and Justin can be like, guys, I'm the new Blue Ranger. And I get, like, fucking emotional from it. I'm like, damn, it's the new Blue Ranger. Like, they got me. They got me with that scene.
As funny as it is that Rocky tries to throw a roundhouse kick and somehow ends up super airborne outside of his boxing ring.
Yep.
Hilarious. But that scene, I can quote that to like my friends all the time and they just bust up laughing because it's so, like, that's such an iconic thing. Or like the first Mighty Morphin of like, be the swallow. Josue in chat says MMPR VHS box art was the best. Fun fact I just learned about it. We'll talk about 2017 eventually, I promise.
Yeah,
but fun fact, I just saw a post about that the other day about how the picture in your mind the iconic poster for that first Mighty Morphin movie.
Okay. Yeah.
You see everybody in line and everything?
Right.
Those pictures are all digitally put together with pictures of pieces of the suits. There's no one in those suits. They are not a full suit. It is picture of the helmet, picture of the arm. And it's all digitally laid on top of each other to make those posters.
What?
Yep.
Honestly, I mean, they look really good. Like, when I think about it, I'm like, damn, like, they look so good. You're talking about where, like, the helmets are, like, lined up, but, like, they're, like, also you see their chests?
Yeah, where all of them are lined up like that.
Yeah, face front.
Not the side view one. Yeah, the face front one.
Yeah. Damn.
Sway says Hawk do the Antonio Banderas line. Also one of my favorite parts of the Turbo movie.
Which one?
He's like, my name is Antonio Banderas.
Oh my god, yeah, Boca Skull, right? When they're like speaking Spanish or speaking something.
Yep.
Yeah.
Just fantastic.
Oh my god. That's
also
so
fun
true.
Fact, I'm pretty sure Turbo, I know, like, I read this, Turbo came out 2 weeks after the end of Zio. So like Bogan Skull, Jason and Kimberly, or Jason at least, not gone for very long before that movie came out.
Yo, isn't the last episode of Zio like Jason giving back the gold powers or something? Like,
yeah,
I can't, yeah, like it's
he's not gone forever, and then he's just like, in this movie.
They're acting like he was gone for the longest time. Like, Kim, we haven't seen in a little bit, but like Jason, you were literally just the Gold Ranger. Like,
you were there.
Yeah, dude.
Also, I think one of the last episodes of Turbo is Tommy sending that letter to Kim. So it's like he sends that letter and then she's there.
Awkward.
Sorry, guys. As promised, Power Rangers 17, here's the run, or 2017, here's the rundown.
Let's go.
It's an American superhero film that serves as a modern reimagining of the original Mighty Morphin Power Rangers television series produced by SCG Films, Temple Hill Entertainment, and Toei Company, with effects done by Weta Workshop. The film released on March 24th, 2017, and grossed over $142 million worldwide, making it a box office disappointment. It is the first movie in 20 years since Turbo, a Power Rangers movie. And some fun facts for you, because I pulled up the Ranger Wiki one instead of the Wikipedia. Nice. The Wikipedia just wants to talk about numbers and box office disappointment. We're here to talk about the fun stuff, like how the Japanese premiere was attended by the person who portrayed Yamato Tribe Prince Geki in the original Zhu Ranger.
Let's go.
And Lucky in the currently or concurrently airing Uchu Sentai Q Ranger, and he appeared in character as Lucky at the premiere.
Wow.
In Japan.
That's dope.
There are also several direct references to Power Ranger series other than MMPR, such as a street sign being spotted on set that says Ocean Bluff Road, a reference to Jungle Fury set in the city of Ocean Bluff. And then Sam Scott mentions Mariner Bay and Reefside, references to locations in Lightspeed Rescue and Dino Thunder, respectively. The movie makes use of Go-Go Power Rangers by the Power Rangers Orchestra, as heard in the original movie soundtrack, which is one of my favorite parts of that original trailer. The movie is notable for being the first big-budget superhero film to feature LGBTQIA+ hero Trini and another on the autism spectrum in Billy. And lastly, the movie takes place in an alternate universe outside the Prime Power Rangers continuity, which we now know is actually three different universes.
Wow.
Jem, also, go for it.
No, I was just going to mention people that we know from this movie, but that we also know from other stuff, something I like to do. What's his name? I was going to call him Billy Cranston. guy from Breaking Bad.
Guy What's from Breaking name? Bad.
What's his name?
Oh, Bryan Cranston.
Bryan Cranston. Thank you. It's the bees. The Billy Cranston, Bryan Cranston. That's why. Bryan Cranston, not only does he play Zordon in this movie, he also voiced some villains of the week in Mighty Morphin. So, like, that's a cool little note that, like, he already had some history with Power Rangers. So you could call him a Toku star, if you will.
Yep, nothing to do with Power Rangers, but Naomi Scott plays Kimberly Hart, and she's in the live-action Aladdin movie, which is way better than people give it credit for.
She was my other person, not from Aladdin, though. She is in Aladdin. She's Jasmine, but I know her from the Disney Channel original movie, yep. Lemonade Mouth.
I knew you were going to say that. Former owner of Power Rangers, Disney Channel.
Keeping it in the family as always.
All these actors are like, more known actors.
I think at this point we know all the Rangers for like other stuff. Like Zach was in the Mortal Kombat movie at this point. Jason was in Stranger Things as the character Billy, who's like a piece of shit. So like, you know, there's a lot of they've been working. You know, we mentioned Kim is now Jasmine in the Disney Princess live action universe, whatever they're doing.
This is not a universe. I want so bad for a sequel to that movie, and it's never gonna happen.
Oh my god! But yeah.
Bill Hader plays Alpha 5.
Exactly. Yeah, they're just like, honestly, I'm surprised that this movie didn't work. Like, the cast was pretty good.
Let's talk about that first, because I think we both are fans of this movie for certain things. But let's talk about first and foremost why it didn't work.
Okay. Well, you know what? One of the first things I would say, I feel like I'm like yelling. One of the first things I would say is probably like, you don't get a lot of power in the Power Rangers, you know, like they're striving for that power the whole episode. But like the last, like however long is just them being in the suits for like a second, they fight some putties and then they're in the Zords and then we're Megazord. And then, you know, like it's just super quick. And like some people have said that it feels like a first episode of Power Rangers, which I could relate to, sure. But I feel like had we had seen more Power Rangers in action, maybe training or something like that, maybe like a scene in the middle with some putties or something, I feel like it could have been really cool to just like show off their version of the Power Rangers, not just like the team and like the character building and stuff, which we got a lot of.
Here's my thing about this movie, and it builds off of what you said. The reason Power Rangers 2017 doesn't work is because it's not a toy commercial.
Okay. You know what? That's a great, because like the Morpher is like, they sold a Morpher, but it's not in the movie.
It makes me so fucking mad every single time.
Why did you sell that Morpher, dude? I knew that because they sold the Morpher. Like you could see the toys before the movie comes out. So I was like, ooh, I can't wait to see how the Morpher works in the movie. Spoiler alert, it freaking doesn't, dude. They don't use it ever. They just chant. It's morphing. They don't chant it. They just say it. But, you know.
Lambo Calrissian, thanks for the sub, my dude.
Hey, yo.
Last week's guest right here.
Shout out Lambo.
Yeah, it drove me crazy because I think the Morpher toy actually is really cool. And it
looks cool.
It spins. It's, whether you want to call it or not, it is an homage to Typhoon. Like, it's a cool...
Oh, okay.
Kamen Rider looking style Morpher. It is kind of big toy wise. But it would work if you used it as a Morpher. The power sword that we see in the trailer when it comes out of the arm is awesome, but they don't acknowledge that any of this stuff is as cool as it should be. Those Zords, the Megazord, the bad, like all of it just feels like an afterthought, which is crazy when we're talking about Power Rangers and tokusatsu stuff.
Yes. I think the artillery specifically, like the weapon, that sword specifically, one, they all should have had their weapons. Like there should have been an axe, there should have been a lance, there should have been daggers.
Crazy that they all had the sword.
Such a missed opportunity. but like that's just one thing. Like that's one. But then the other thing is like the sword itself is kind of like the morph and like the Rangers. It's so quick that like you're like, oh, that looks dope. Where did it go? Where did it? Did I just miss it? You know what I mean? It's like, oh, damn, I want to see more of that. So there's that like opportunity, I guess, that they miss trying to like dive more into that and kind of make that important. But yeah, man, I feel like another point is that like, I don't know how you felt about it watching it recently, but like the editing for me felt like they were trying to save this movie from something.
It gets really fast towards the end. You feel that?
Yeah, I mean, just like the whole movie in the beginning, just for me was just like, man, like this feels okay pacing wise. But then I started getting like a weird edit vibe where I was like, I feel like they're hiding something from me. Like there was a movie plot point that they're not having anymore that they took out at some point and like whatever else, which I, you know, I found out a couple months ago, or maybe like years at this point, that there was supposed to be more of like a worthy theme in the movie of like them being worthy to be the Rangers. And like, they were supposed to be more with that whole Jason putting the sword in at the end when he leaves the base. Like, that was supposed to be more important as far as like the team being a team and him being able to pull that out, kind of like Arthur in the Stone or whatever. I heard there was supposed to, or like I read that there was supposed to be more of that. That was supposed to be more important. But like, I don't know. I feel like maybe I could see that aspect where like there was something there that they wanted to add in the movie. But like through the edit, I was just like, man, like something's missing here. Like, I feel like the pacing was okay, but then it started getting a little weird. What did you feel about the ending though?
Oh, I was just, it felt like, so to, I know we're talking about what we don't enjoy right now, or we, why we think the movie don't work.
Yeah.
But I think everything out of suit is great. I think all that stuff out of suit is an amazing movie on its own.
Yeah.
I just feel by the time they got towards maybe the last 40 minutes, they were like, oh shit, we have to wrap up this movie. Like, and it starts getting like, go, 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 go. Instead of being like, hey, look at these cool ass Megazords that are supposed to be one thing. And like, we don't mention at all.
Yeah. There's also that aspect of the Megazords where they like go into their spine or something. Like, what's up with that weird aspect? Like, why did that have to be? We couldn't just pilot these Zords. Like, I don't know. There's things like that where I was like, I wish they dove into that more. Like, I don't know, watching the movie today, I was like, when they were explaining like the Power Rangers and like the Zeo Crystal and all that stuff, like he was like, yeah, like Power Rangers are like these warriors and like they protect the Zeo Crystal and stuff. And I was like, that's a cool like context rather than like, I don't know, like a Mighty Morphin. I don't feel like we got a reason of like what the Rangers were originally, or like why they were able to make Rangers or whatever. But in this context, it's like, hey, they're warriors that were meant to protect the situation or whatever. And like, there's just bad people out there like Rita. But again, like, I don't know. It wasn't like, it was fine. I had a thought that, but I lost it.
Yeah. I mean, like I said, my biggest thing is that it's not a toy commercial. I think that's Power Ranger's strength. When you're watching Iron Man, you're like, oh, you're not like, I care about this new cannon that he has on his shoulder, but Power Rangers get a new weapon or a new power up and you're like, oh shit, I need that. That's fair. And they just did not focus on that. Like, one of the biggest missed opportunities in this film, anyone will tell you, is the Megazord, because nobody knows what that thing is. Like, you look at it, and being the absolute nerd that I am, digging enough to be like, oh, I get it, because there was this one-off line that says the Megazords adapt to whatever the top thing in the food chain is, and Goldar at that moment was the top thing in the food chain, so like they adapted to that, and that's why he looks like Goldar.
Freaking hate that Megazord, dude. If we're talking about things we don't like, that Megazord is on, because the Zords on themselves look cool. I really liked their design. Like, I like how you could see them and they're like cockpits and stuff like that. There's too many shots of them on the inside, I will say that. Excuse me.
I remember first seeing the Tyrannosaurus and being super stoked.
Yeah,
that absolutely looks like a Tyrannosaurus, like updated.
The guns are kind of extra, but they're still kind of cool. Like, it's still cool. I will give it to them. But then they all come together. Excuse me, I'm so sorry. But I expected for them to come together and make this, you know, Dino Megazord Dijujin type situation, not in like look, but in the sense of aesthetic, where you were going to be able to see the yellow, the blue, the red and whatnot. And it's not that at all. It's not, it looks like something you see in like a science class in like the year, like 4,000, like it's just like a human body. And it's just, I don't know. It's just so weird to me.
It's too silver. For sure.
Yeah, it's way too silver, dude. Nobody's even silver on the team.
Yeah, like, we don't have a Silver Ranger, guys. Why are we?
Do you guys know the rules?
It's funny because the Tyrannosaurus Zord, one of the only Zords I like in that movie. I think I remember seeing the Triceratops Zord. No. Was it the Triceratops Zord? Who's the black one?
Mastodon.
Mastodon, and it has like 8 legs for some reason.
Dude, what is that thing? Is that a fucking tarantula? Like, what is like, that?
Why? What's the point?
Why is that thing just like caterpillar? Just like, you know, like I hated that.
It was one of those things that's like, okay, we changed enough. Why are we changing the things that worked though?
Yeah. And like, I get it that it's like otherworldly, because like they even speak in like another language, which I thought was kind of like a cool note. Watching it today, I was like, oh yeah, they just like they had another language that they spoke, and like, kind of makes sense because like they're like from another planet, or like, if you, well, I guess they're from this planet, but they're just like from another era, so like, I don't know, the whole Zord thing just like kind of made sense because of that, because it felt otherworldly, but it just didn't, just going back to the Megazord, it just didn't culminate to like a really cool super robot.
Yeah. That's what he says. My gripe is that they finally morph and they can't keep the visors on for the FaceTime. That's something that I noticed like way back in Captain America, the first movie. I was like, oh, he's not wearing the thing because like he probably in his contract is like, look, my face has to be on the screen for this much time. He doesn't wear his helmet in Winter Soldier at all, for the most part. So like in this, when they popped up, I was like, oh, they probably all have that like in their contract. They're like, oh, I need FaceTime. Same reason Iron Man does it and everything, which is a bummer.
I was thinking, and like, this was just my assumption, but like, I was like, I always thought that was, cause I heard in Mighty Morphin, in the behind the scenes video that I watched on YouTube, there was like a whole thing where like, they had like a visorless mask.
They shot situation. A couple scenes of the movie like that.
Yeah.
Yes.
And like, it's like, that looked disgusting, but I heard it was because they wanted to see the actors, right? They want to see them emote. And it's like, I get that aspect. So like when they did this, I was like, oh, they did the Ninja Storm thing. I thought it was because of that, because they wanted to see them like emulate more. And I will say, I have watched this movie with the director's commentary. I didn't do it today, but it's so funny. And I will just say this openly. It's so funny to hear him talk about this movie, because it's like, man, like, yeah, I get where you're coming from, but like, nah, dude, like, there's so many things where I'm just like, yeah, I get it. But like, nah, he says, and like, we didn't even talk about like words to describe the movie, but like, this wouldn't be mine, but one thing, if the director was here, he would say subversion, because he says that like a million times on the commentary. And I was like, yeah, I get it, man. You really tried to subvert these fans' expectations with what they wanted out of a Power Rangers movie. But at the same time, it's like, you kind of like let them down.
So. We didn't do words. Give me a word for this movie.
I was going to go with something like positive. So I was going to go with origin. It feels like the beginning of something bigger. Like, it feels like they're setting up a lot of this like world building with the spaceship and just like the language and like it feeling otherworldly. I feel like they were going to touch more on that in the sequel, which I think we should talk about a little later.
Yeah, we will.
Just like what that could have been. But I really, really feel like this was just like setting up something to be really cool. Like, I always pictured the second movie, and this is just really quick, but I always pictured the second movie starting with them already being morphed and just like fighting somebody, just because like they set it up here. They waited until the end for them to actually morph. So I thought we would get more of them morphed in the second one. But I think, like I said before, this movie is just like a first episode. Like people say, it's a first episode of what could be like a whole thing.
I would say around the same thing, foundation. Cause when this movie came out, I was the person that was like, man, I have a lot of problems with this movie, but the sequel could fix all of them. Exactly. None of them were like, this is doomed to fail. None of them were terrible enough to be like, oh, this, I hate this. All the problems were like, hey, next movie, we do this right, it's all forgiven, because you can absolutely do that.
Yeah,
in terms of like the morphing with the actual morphers and everything, they could have literally just started out the next movie with, it's morphin' time, boom, logo, and then I'm on board.
Literally, if they could have knocked the second one out of the park, it could have been something a little bigger and a little special. I don't think it would have changed anything in pop culture, but I think it just could have been a really cool set of movies.
Yeah, I think they had the cast.
Yep.
For sure.
Like, yeah, the cast is, they had them, dude. It's phenomenal. Solid. It's a solid cast. I mean, like, speaking of the cast real quick, I just like, we can talk about things that we love, because like, I think Billy is like the heart of this movie. Like, hands down, like the heart and soul, because like, from the beginning, like you feel his sweetness and like he's like such a nice guy, but then by the end you're like, fuck, man, like, damn, like he wanted to be a fucking Power Ranger, my dude dies, like he comes back, like it's like
that scene will never not make God cry.
Yeah, dude, it's super emotional. So like, I really, really liked Billy. Like, I feel like all the characters have their moments to shine and like be funny and stuff, but like he's the star, I felt.
Yeah, it's funny because I think his name's Decray, right? The dude who plays Jason. Decray Montgomery?
Oh, Dacre, yeah.
Dacre Montgomery.
Yep.
It's been 5 years. I've never known how to say that name.
No, it's awkward.
Dacre Montgomery is such a good Jason in terms of like...
Dude!
The first couple of scenes of like him with his dad and everything is very much... And I know you don't read the comics, but it's so resonant of the Power Rangers comics. Those early issues where like Jason has problems with his dad. He's like... I think he's an alcoholic in the comics. Wow. But it's so like just prime for that, like, hey, kid looking for direction. And he does that throughout the movie of like, hey, What if we never leave this town? Like, what if we're just stuck here?
Dude, one of my like my fourth note is, and this is, take this with a grain of salt, Power Ranger fans, the best Jason. And yeah. I take this with a grain of salt because, like, I don't want to compare him to like Austin St. John's work, and like, just because like he's iconic in his own right, but like as far as like character Jason, of me relating to like this leader of this team, and like seeing him like have like multiple different, I don't know, like not too many, because I'm not trying to say that this character was like the best character, but like to see him portray like a couple different like emotions, I guess, like he showed like leader vibes, but he also showed like he was broken in the beginning, like he did have problems and he is flawed and shit like that. I thinking about him being the leader and like him owning up at the end and shit like that, I was like, damn man, like this Jason, he's really got it, like it's really good and shit like that, that I would love to see in the sequel.
When he told Zordon, like, you failed your team, yeah, this is my team, yep. I like, that's when I was like, dude, this is my Red Ranger right here, this yeah, is dude. Like so good. Insane Sphere in the chat says Billy 2017 is my favorite Power Ranger because he represents autistic people and I appreciate that.
Hell yeah.
We, like we said, absolutely. Billy's the heart and soul of this movie.
He's one of my favorite aspects of this movie. And every time I watch this movie and he pops up on screen, I'm just like, man, this is why I love this movie so much. Like, he's a really great character. And like, how do I say, like, he enhances everybody else. Like, yeah. Everybody else is better because of him.
Yeah, I definitely think he's the lens in this movie. Like, who the audience is supposed to be looking through, if that makes sense. Because okay. Every character you meet has their, like, memorable interaction with Billy, as opposed to having their memorable interaction with everybody else, if that makes sense.
Sure.
Until the campfire scene.
Because we didn't really talk about the beginning. I really liked that they focused on, like, when they get their powers and stuff, they focused on red, pink, and blue, which I thought was very cool because, you know, like, you have five characters and, like, they're all new. So it's hard to kind of just, like, boom, boom, boom. But it felt like a first episode in that aspect of, like, Ninja Storm or, like, Jungle Fury, where you have that three-person team. And, like, they're kind of focusing on these three a little bit more than the other two, even if they are showing off the other two here and there. But I just liked how those three were, like, our base for like the team, and like they were already cool from the get, so like I really liked that aspect.
Yeah, there's so one of the video essay people I like to watch on YouTube is named Captain Midnight. He recently did a video essay on this movie and why it didn't work, and he pointed out something that I didn't notice before, but like watching it today I was like, oh man, he's like dead on the money, is that you think of old Power Rangers Mighty Morphin and it's so bright and colorful, and not just because of the Power Rangers, because of the surroundings as well. Like, for all intents and purposes, Angel Grove is California. It's like beachside, sunny California. Sure. Whereas in this movie, it's like this secluded mining mountain town with like also has a bay somewhere in it. And it's just very gray the whole time.
Yeah, I 100% fucked with that though.
Oh, really?
Because, yeah, well, one of the things I liked about this movie is that they didn't push into the MMPR stuff aside from like the toys and Zordon to read, and you know, like, but as far as like characters, like I don't think that this like Dacre Jason is like Austin St. John Jason, you know, like I don't see them as the same. And like Angel Grove is a perfect example of like they do have different tones, and like I just prefer this one. I will say that Captain Midnight video, I watched like a minute of it and I turned it off. I was like, I can't watch it. No, because it's like I don't want to get too much into it, but it's just like I don't want to say there's anything wrong with this, because like everyone is a fan in their own way, and like I'm not trying to diss any types of fans, but like I felt like I was watching a video from somebody that only watched Mighty Morphin and that only cared about Mighty Morphin, and just like as somebody that loves all the seasons, it just sucks because like the other ones just don't get recognized, or like the people don't see value in them because they're like they come after the original and shit. But like I was watching it and I was like, dude, like this movie was good. What are you talking about? Like, his title alone got me pissed, and I was like, let me watch this shit. But yeah, that's how I feel about that. I won't get too much into it.
I get it.
Can we say that this movie starts out with a just like a bestiality joke? Like,
yes,
my dude milks a male freaking cow or like a fucking whatever it is. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
What? Like, they're really trying to set the tone. They're like, hey guys, like, just so you know what kind of movie this is. We're raunchy.
We're edgy. Check it out.
This isn't your dad's Power
Rangers. Which is crazy because I don't think that sets the tone for the movie.
It does.
Like, the rest of the movie is not that tone.
It's wild because, like, that makes it seem like it's going to be, like, a little funny or, like, it's going to be, like, jokey. But, like, the whole movie is kind of serious. It's a serious kind of movie. Like, there's humor in it. I'm not going to say there's not. But it's kind of more of a serious movie.
I will say, for this podcast, we do money shots. If I had to do the opposite of that and pick a worst shot of something.
What's the worst shot, yeah.
The car spinning around 18 times is one of the worst shots in cinema history.
I used to like that scene until I watched the director's commentary and he told me where the split is and where they go from the actual shot from when they go into the studio. I was like, oh, you broke it for me, dude. I can't watch the scene anymore.
I was just like, all right, cool. We're done. Like, stop spinning around.
It's because it's like he crashes and then it's like fade to black. Power Rangers in the corner. Super serious. It's like
a loading screen.
Yeah, it's like loading, but it's just Power Rangers.
Doom, 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 doom. Jim, how'd you like the music of this?
Dude, that was one of the things that I was going to talk about because I, like, stay with me here. I love the score, mm-hmm. but I don't love the soundtrack. I hate the songs that they picked from, like, pop culture and things to add from, like, other artists and stuff like that. Yeah. But I love the original score that they wrote for the moments of them, like, morphing for the first time, moments at the beginning, literally in the intro, stuff like that. Like, there was a lot of key moments where I was like, damn, like, these scores are so sick. And I have the DVD. So when I popped in the DVD, the menu has, like, the music from the movie playing. And as soon as it started, I was like, damn, like, I feel it. I'm back into it. Like, I'm back into this world. So, like, the score alone was just something where I was like, wasted potential. Like, there was so much potential for that to be a cinematic theme for the Power Rangers moving forward. I thought they were moving with something because, like, there's like a certain melody that I feel throughout the whole movie that they use sparingly. Mm-hmm. So I was hoping that we'd get something that wasn't the bam, 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 which they do a version of it like in another scene, but like
the whole movie score. I love the like orchestral version of that they use. That dum, 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 dum. Like it's almost the transition song in MMPR.
Okay.
Of like when they
yeah
switch like scenes and go somewhere else.
Yep. They're in like the shack or whatever.
Yeah. They do like an orchestral version of that, and that always gets me like, oh, it feels like when Spider-Man Homecoming came out and made the orchestral version of that Spider-Man theme.
Yes, I appreciate the one that doesn't sound like that because it just once again it just strays away from the Mighty Morphin stuff that I just don't like. I wish we would stay away from it and just like create something new, which those are the rumors, so hopefully. But yeah, man, the music overall was really cool. Kind of a bummer that Kanye's in this movie, but like, you know, he's in it.
He's not in the movie.
He's not, well, right, Kanye,
could you imagine?
He's Billy's dad.
He's at Krispy Kreme, just like turns around, like, who's this chick?
And I'll say, like, it's only a bummer because I just feel like that song doesn't fit in this movie. Like, they say power, but I heard it the first time, I was like, really?
And I was like, other than power, the rest of the lyrics also don't fit Power Rangers. Like, no one man should have all that power. They don't. It's a team of five. Like,
Rita's a female. Yeah, you know, exactly. I don't know. Yeah, it's that and a couple other songs. There is a song when they're swimming to the base. I wrote down the name of it because Sophia helped me out. We have it in our Spotify playlist because I love it that much. But it's called "The Ecstatics" by Explosions in the Sky. It's so good when they're just swimming to the base for the first time. It's just so serene, and I just love it so much. And that isn't a score; it's just somebody's song. But that's one of those where I'm like, all right, you got me with that one.
Yeah, the montage. Speaking of like. That area of the movie, the montage where they're like becoming a team and like all getting or learning their powers, specifically the fork battle, mm-hmm. is like one of the most feel good, my favorite parts of this movie.
Yes,
of like, oh cool, this is the in between stuff that we didn't see in the show.
Yeah,
but you can put in this movie and like, oh, these people are a team because at the start they obviously aren't. They are obviously all kind of have their problems with each other. But yeah, when they're fighting with the forks, I'm like, oh, this is dope. Like this, they're all becoming a team and coming together. And I, as much as I don't like that they needed that to morph, because it makes morphing something completely different than it ever has been in Power Rangers.
Yep.
That's one of my number one gripes. But I do like that montage, and I wish we got more of that.
Yeah, I liked that montage. I feel like it's just like you're saying, it really touches on the teamwork aspect that, you know, the movie's 2 hours and you can't have it all, you know? So I feel like that montage does a great job of like showing you that, hey, yeah, they're working hard, they're bonding, and like, I don't know, like I loved that scene myself. I was telling Sophia, I was like, it feels like there's a 3-hour version of this movie that I would watch, but that exists out there. Like, I feel like there's an extended cut of this movie.
You want a Snyder cut of the Power Rangers? Power Rangers 2017.
I would watch it, because like, I don't know, like I said before, like if there's more of an element with like that being worthy of being a Power Ranger aspect, I would love to see with what they were trying to play with that. But if we get more stuff with like Zack and his mom and like Trini being more part of stuff, like I just feel like there's more stuff that they could have dove into and like we just didn't, you know? And the movie's already 2 hours.
Yeah, specifically like Zack and Trini get the short end of the stick in this movie.
Yeah.
Character wise, like Trini gets to be the first LGBTQIA character, but like it also kind of skirts the line on that. Like, it's a one-off kind of implying line that says it, and then we gave her that stamp right away.
Yeah, like it's, she's like, yeah, had these troubles, and then he's like, boyfriend troubles, and she's like, yeah, boyfriend troubles, huh? And she, and
girlfriend,
he's like,
troubles,
girlfriend troubles, and then she's just like, my family's so normal. It's like, what? Okay, yeah. So yeah, they just don't approve of you. I get it.
Yeah,
but like they should.
Her little brothers also suck, by the way. I just want to throw that out there.
Her brothers suck.
Her little brothers suck.
Yeah, they should have dove into more of them, more of the brothers, honestly.
Yeah, I love the cast, everything about them. I think Bryan Cranston brings a side to Zordon that we needed. In this newer reboot, like Zordon old school is like very like, you guys are great. You're the Power Rangers.
Alpha,
don't tell anyone anything. Yeah, don't tell anyone your thing. Very Barney-esque in terms of like a mentor. Whereas this Zordon, like, he's actively trying to save the world by any cost necessary, and sometimes that cost means like taking it into your own hands. Because something that's not talked about this movie a lot is that he's actively trying to out Jason as the Red Ranger and come back.
Yeah, he really wants to come back. That's true.
Yeah, he's trying to, it's the morphing sequence again, but he's trying to get them to morph so that he can revive himself and take control of this team.
Yeah, which honestly, like, I like every scene that Zordon's in, I want to fight him. Like, I just want to go, Zordon, let's fucking go, dude. Like, you're pissing me off, man. And like, I don't know, that's why I feel like every scene with Zordon feels like it was either reshot or rescripted or something, because I'm like, is this what they wanted? This is what we were gonna do? Like, I feel like he's just always coming at them, you know?
I like that in terms of like, this is one of those things that the second movie could improve on, where
100%,
because this movie there is an immediacy of like, hey, this is happening in fucking 5 days.
That's true.
Like,
that's
the
true.
The world is ending in 5 days. Whereas the next movie, and I also like, we keep talking about the sword in the thing. Mm-hmm. I felt like that was such a finality in the ending of like, hey, the world doesn't need Power Rangers anymore, so we won't be Power Rangers anymore,
man. Dude, hella out of place for me when I watched it. I was like, what's that all about? Like, what did that have to do with anything? But no, I do get that aspect too, because it is like a, hey, we did our job, that's what we were supposed to do, right? We were supposed to stop Rita, we're supposed to whatever. So like, it does have that like closure feel. But again, like, I feel like if there was more to that, I would have wanted to see that. Like, again, I would watch a 3-hour version of this movie. No problem.
I feel like nobody wanted the closure feel. Everyone like gets to the Power Rangers is like, goes on. So when I talk about the second movie, which we can start getting into, but like,
yeah, for sure.
That was one of those things where like, oh, Zordon would obviously be more chill because they're not on a timetable at this point.
Right.
At least at the beginning of the movie. There's no 5 days in the world ends. You need to morph now. There's something super hard coming. So like, just seeing that beginning of the first movie where they're just like training and Zordon's like, hey, try this, me and my team used to do this, would have been cool.
Yes, 100%. I feel like for the second movie, like, they obviously set up Rita going to the moon, but I don't think they were gonna do that in the sequel, you know? Like, I don't think they were just gonna be like, hey, she's gone. Like, I feel like if anything, a post-credit scene in the sequel or something, like, hey, she's still there, whatever.
I have a part of the wiki right here that talks about the canceled sequels.
Oh, hell, says, oh yeah, let's get into that.
Yeah, it says in May of 2016, conference calls to analysts. In a May of 2016 conference call to analysts, Lionsgate CEO stated, quote, we could see doing 5 or 6 yep. or 7.
Yep. They were so confident.
And on March 22nd of 2017, Chaim Saban said that he and Lionsgate already have a 6-film story arc. However, in so crazy.
Christ, dude. 6 films.
In May of 2017, Forbes noted that due to the underwhelming performance of the film in most markets, it was unlikely that any sequels would be made. Later that same month, it was reported that the sequels could still be made thanks to record-breaking merchandise sales. Prior to the home release of the movie, Israelite confirmed that talks were taking place regarding a sequel and that he would like to include Lord Zedd and Tommy Oliver as the Green Ranger in it, which is obviously set up in the post-credit scene of this first movie.
Mm-hmm.
The possibility of a sequel increased once more in early July of 2017 when it was reported that the film held the number one spot in home media sales and rentals in its first week.
Let's go, baby.
In August of 2017, Saban abandoned its trademark for the film's logo. A Saban Brands representative stated in October of 2017 that, quote, Power Rangers continues to own and renew hundreds of trademark registrations worldwide, including the 2017 movie logo. The trademark resignation process is very nuanced, and the status of a single application has no bearing on our ownership of the future plans of Power Rangers. The franchise remains as strong and enthusiastic about its future as ever. I just want to point out that it was a lie.
This, not how
abandoning a trademark is exactly what it sounds like, guys. It's not like, hey, by the way, it's nuanced than that. No, that's exactly what it sounds like. And then on May 1st of 2018, Saban Brands agreed to sell Power Rangers to and other entertainment assets to Hasbro for $522 million in cash and stock, with the sale expected to be closed in the second quarter. On August 8th of 2018, Hasbro announced that they would be working with a film studio to develop a power follow-up to Power Rangers. But then in February 2019, Hasbro CEO Brian Goldner announced in a financial call that Hasbro was in talks with Paramount Pictures to produce a brand new sequel. But another crack in the road when on July 11th of 2019, just months later, in the AMA thread on the Stranger Things subreddit, Dacre Montgomery revealed that the studio had plans to produce a second reboot without him and the rest of the cast and director returning. On December 13th of 2019, it was reported that Jonathan Entwistle is in early negotiations to direct the reboot. The plot will reportedly involve time travel and will be set in the 1990s. Since then, that has been dropped rumor-wise. And October 20th of 2020, it was announced that the Entwistle will work on a reboot with Hasbro and E1, and he will be overseeing directing both the film and television adaptations. Deadline reported that Brian Edward Hill is set to write the script for the reboot. So, a lot to ingest there. But basically, a lot of it comes down to, we had these plans and they all fell through.
They were like, hey, we're going to do 2 trilogies and we have them ready. So we're going to put them out.
Yeah. So go see this movie.
I don't know. They were super. And I mean, I guess with Power Rangers, if they're just going to like, oh, we could do this arc, we could do this arc, let's just fucking do this. And then they're like, oh, we could do freaking Shattered Grid now if you wanted to. But like 6 movies? How many villains are you trying to throw at us, dude? Because I was thinking, like, second movie, Zedd, right off the bat. Like, he's the baddie. Maybe he doesn't get killed off in the second movie, and I guess he could be the threat for the other ones. But, like, who's getting killed off? You're going to have, like, Rito and freaking Babu and, like, all those other guys just come in? Like, really?
I want to point out that the MCU itself,
mm.
which started with Iron Man and Incredible yes. Hulk in the same summer. Yes. I think they were, like, 3 months apart. Those were the only 2 movies planned at that point. Like, right. They didn't have 8 movies ready to go, like all of Phase 1 up to the Avengers. And yeah. they waited until these came out. So for them to be like, especially a year before the movie to come out, to be like, hey, we have 6 to 7 sequels in the making.
Yep.
Is insane.
Just like sets you up for failure. Like you're just like, hey guys, we have all this stuff, but it's like, hey, just keep that to yourself, man. Like even if you do, just keep it to yourself. Like, cause like then like, like how I'm going into Fan First Friday soon. It's like, don't set up yourself for disappointment, because if you say that you have six movies, people are going to be like, oh man, they have six movies. What have they got in store? And then it just never happened. So now we're just like, oh, there that train went. Bye.
Could you imagine if before this movie came out, they were like, you guys want to see Countdown to Destruction? Because it's in the books. It's coming.
It's coming. Yeah. I don't know, man. I would be super interested to see what they would do for a sequel, given that like Tommy would be in it, and how the world would receive somebody else that is Tommy, you know, because JDF like is Tommy, but like
he was on board at this point. Like,
what's up?
He was on board at this point. He's in this movie. So, and
oh sure,
it's in the somewhere on the wiki here that the cast and JDF himself were talking about. It would be cool. Here it is. In the source material, Tommy Oliver was a male, but the cast of the film and the actor who played Oliver, Jason David Frank, in the source material, expressed interest in a female version of the character in the sequel.
Yes, which I was all for. I was like, that's so dope, because they already set it up with Rita being a female. Like, Rita was the Green Ranger, so like, hell yeah, the Green Ranger should be a female going forward. Like, why not? You know, like, we've already seen a suit for it. Like, we already know that can happen. But I know, just like, there's something about Tommy that when you bring that up around a fan, they're just like, oh, we freaking love him. So just like imagining somebody else named Tommy, like in like a live action media, just like I would like pay to see that, honestly, to see how people would receive that. Cause I don't care, man. I'll take another Tommy. I'll see what's up. But I'm sure people would have a gripe with that. Like, that's not my Tommy. You know what I mean?
Yeah. There's people that do that with this movie.
Mm. Oh, like, right. Like, that's not my Jason.
Those aren't my Rangers, which like at the end of the day, exactly. the Entwistle reboot officially confirming as of, I want to say last week or the week before, saying that like, hey, this will be a brand new team of brand new characters, I think is the right way to go.
I'm ready, dude. I'm ready for that. And like, you know, that in itself sounds interesting. I wish they had done it with this, because like, I feel like that Mighty Morphin like aspect of like using their names and like the Zords and Zordon and all that stuff just like, again, just sets you up to think a certain way. And like, again, the Mecha, I was expecting something aesthetically pleasing, and it's the exact opposite.
Yeah, and we'll get to the suits in a second, but it kind of tries to be like, hey guys, look, we're Mighty Morphin. Hey, don't fucking tell them we're not Mighty Morphin, okay? Like, just do what you want. Make the suits and the Mecha look whatever you want.
Yes. And also, can I just say that, like, well, you know what? How did you feel about Elizabeth Banks playing Rita? How did you feel about that?
Krispy Kreme. Krispy Kreme. Krispy Kreme.
Must be a good fucking place if the crystal's there.
I think Rita was the person you needed to cast big, and I think they did with Elizabeth Banks. Like, she was she's a bigger name than the rest of the cast for the most part.
Okay.
And I think that was the right choice to go. The Rita that they portrayed wasn't my favorite, but Elizabeth Banks, I think, was the right choice for it.
Interesting. I'm gonna go on the other side of that. I feel like they should have hired somebody older.
Oh, okay.
I would have preferred like a, because like, I guess she should be around the age of like Zordon, because they were on the same team.
Yeah.
But I would have loved like an older Rita to homage to that, like Rita and the Mighty Morphin. And I guess that's the only thing I would want them to like the old witch, that aspect of like, I'm a freaking, you know, I make shit and stuff like that. Her being a ranger is cool, but I would have loved to see like an old witch, like actually fighting these rangers. I feel like that would have been cool.
I think you could have done that just on the fact that like Zordon is not Zordon. Zordon is a wall, like an AI on a wall almost. Rita could have aged that entire time.
Exactly. Perfect. Yeah, exactly. So I feel like there could have been something there. That aspect of like maybe hiring someone older. On that note of Elizabeth Banks, we were watching it and Sophia mentioned it was kind of like Kristen Wiig in Wonder Woman 1984, of like Kristen Wiig playing Cheetah. It's like, man, like,
hate that movie so much.
Me too. But that's the point where it's like, man, like Elizabeth Banks for Rita, like it feels kind of cheesy. Like
you can't see past Elizabeth Banks.
Yes, those moments of like her being serious and menacing just like don't come through all the way. Yeah. And like, it's not dissing her acting, because like I think she did a great job with what she was given, but I just didn't see her as the role for Rita. I feel like she could have been a cool mentor for them, honestly.
Yeah, I can see that as well.
Her mentor character. But on the note of Elizabeth Banks playing Rita, she did a good job with what she was given. I just couldn't see past her.
I think the villains is where this movie falters a lot.
Yes, 100%.
Rita and Goldar. Even
I was going to say Goldar isn't even, you know, like, can barely speak about him.
Yeah, even the school bullies, I think.
Sure, yeah.
Were like a big part of Power Rangers.
Yeah.
Because like you have Bulk and Skull. Like they're right there. So to not make these random school bullies Bulk and Skull seems like one of those things, like I said, like, hey, why are we changing this if it worked? Like,
yeah,
we're putting it here, but we're changing it for no reason.
Yeah. 100%.
Yeah. Goldar, the less said about Goldar, the better, but...
I just, like, I don't even... I wish I could... Like, if he had a voice, I could be like, oh, like, his voice, or, like, that line he said was certain, but, like, my dude's a blob.
I think Goldar was one of your shots to get casual fans to be like, oh, shit, Goldar!
Yeah.
And just have this, like, light bulb go off in their head of, like, yeah, I love this dude. He's a flying monkey. Like...
I feel like they had a couple of those moments where when she's, like, make my monster grow. Like, they're like, she said the thing, you know? Yeah. And like, when they finally say it's morphing time, it's like, oh, you know, it's like, we
got it.
I was a kid when that came out.
Where are we ranking the suits for this?
Man, controversial ass suits, man. Cause like when I first saw them, I was like, ew,
yeah,
hate them.
They
hated them.
They look much better in motion.
I think because when I saw them, it was that one picture that they released with all five of them standing. Mm-hmm. That one picture, I was like, okay, like I don't really love them that much. They kind of look like Iron Man. And then when I saw the movie, I was like, okay, I just wish we had seen more of it. And then I played them in the game and they look cool there, like in Legacy Wars. So like at this point, when I saw them today, I was like, damn, I wish we'd seen more of these suits. So like, I think I do like them, but I don't think I'm going to give them like a high number. I think I'd give them like a 6, maybe a 7. Because like I kind of really like the aesthetic now. The chest piece, like the diamond that's like all space shit, like I feel like that's super cool. It's like a cosmic center or whatever. But they're not the best looking. Like they could have done a better job, I think.
I'm gonna go with 4. Yeah. When I saw that, like same as you, when I saw the first picture that leaked, I was like, what is this? And then the movie came out and I like warmed up on it a little bit. I'm like, they're fine. But when you say you're going to go with Mighty Morphin, when you use those names, those suits, those the helmets have to be that distinction of like, oh, that's a Tyrannosaurus. That's a Pterodactyl. And you just don't have, they look more like henchmen of something than they do Power Rangers, because all Power Ranger suits have some sort of distinction between the suit and the Zord or what they're supposed to represent, whether it be the helmet, a symbol on it or what.
Right.
And these just don't. They're just plain. And I also think they're too dark, which is a dumb thing.
The tone of the colors.
Yeah. It's just like
a darker shade.
It's when people make fun of like the DCU for being like, oh, you guys use gray tones over everything. Like,
literally. Yeah.
Yeah. Where it's like, no, this is literally here. Like you get the Power Rangers so supposed to be this colorful thing. Mm-hmm. And somebody said something one time about Superman. Superman Returns. The best part about Superman Returns was that Brandon Routh's Superman was the brightest thing on screen at all times when he was on screen.
That's cool.
And I think that like goes for the Power Rangers as well. Like, hey, you get that these are a colorful squadron of a team, right? Like, that's what they are. Why run away from that?
Yeah, that's a good point. I definitely agree with that. I feel like the shade of the colors should have been brighter. I agree that they should be like a beam of hope for like the dark times or like for the kids or whatever else.
Especially like when we talked about before, we're like the rest of this movie has that filter over it of the just the dark, like Angel Grove's very dreary, very mountainy. Yeah. Whereas like these suits could have been the pop and color that this
could
town
have been
needed.
That contrast, absolutely. Yeah, yeah,
as opposed to that contrast coming during the final battle when then everything is bright and you're like, okay, we switched up real quick here.
That's true. I do, you know what? I do get that feeling of like the colored hero when Jason is saving his dad and he's like running and like just like
such
out in the open.
Scene.
Like it just it looks cool because you see the Red Ranger just doing a ranger, like helping a civilian, which they should have had more of. but like that scene specifically comes to mind when we were just talking about like suit colors, because like that's the only scene where I'm like, oh yeah, he's red. But, like, other than that, I'm just, like, the Power Rangers are here. Like, I'm not focusing on their colors distinctively. And they also reference their colors, like, when they're suitless, when they're in the water. He's like, I'm black. And he's like, no, you're not. You know, like, that whole situation.
But that is like, a very good line. Yeah.
No, yeah. Not. Like that. Yeah. That whole situation, like they already acknowledged their colors. So like, I'm not really thinking about it, mm-hmm. but I do agree. They should have been a lighter shade. I actually, you mentioned the helmets. I do like them, but I do wish they looked more like they're dinosaurs. They're all very subtle in what they're trying to portray. I feel like even like Kim has like the heart thing a little bit, but it's so subtle, like it's barely there. I think they could have done a better job with the helmets, but I do like the designs. Like I would own one of those if somebody was just like auctioning them off. I'd be like, yo, hold up, five bucks.
Insane Sphere, Insane Sphere said the putties are cool. I agree. I think the idea of like hey, they just come from the ground, she just raises them from the ground, is pretty sick.
It makes sense because like in the show they're like made out of clay and stuff, and here they're just made out of fucking earth. They're like the ground, you know. So I think that's cool.
A money shot. Do you have a money shot for this movie?
I do have a money shot. It's the beginning where Rita, you see the green suit for the first and only time. It was then.
Crawling.
Yeah. It's when you see her suit and you see find out that she's the Green Ranger, I guess. Because people hinted at it when you saw like promo pictures, but it's in that scene when I was in the theater where I was like, oh, hold up, they're about to do something cool. And like it wasn't what I was expecting, but I think it was still a cool movie. That scene got me through the rest of it, and I think that scene is what I want from the sequel. You know, like a female Green Ranger. So
yeah, so if it's not the Billy, it has to be them carrying Billy.
Oh
like,
my god,
that is
on
the best
the
shot
cliff,
in the whole movie.
Just like the drone shot. Oh,
that's
my
the
god.
Best shot in the whole movie. It was them so carrying him like Jesus throughout Angel Grove. Like,
yeah, that's a good shot.
But barring that, because like I feel like that's one of those things where it's like, hey, this is far and away. Let's get to the next one.
Yeah.
Barring that, mine is the first fight with the putties when they're morphed. Where it's,
oh, really?
Where they first are like, hey, here's the sword. Here's the Power Rangers. I just feel like that scene should have happened 40 minutes earlier in this movie.
Mid-movie, that should have happened.
Yeah.
Mid-movie, for sure.
But that first, where they first pop up from the water and they're like, poof, all morphed. Nice. Where that side-by-side shot comes in. Mm-hmm. Where like they're all lined up. That scene to me is like, this is what I want. Why is it so much further in here than I expected?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, that's kind of the same with me where it's like that green suit is what I want from the sequel, but I thought we were going to get more of that in the show in the movie. Like I felt like Rita was building up to having her whole suit again, but she didn't. She's just like, hey guys, I'm chilling like this. It's cool. I got gold now.
I'm chilling. I do like how, speaking of Rita, like, I like the details of Rita to where her like coin is in her staff. I think that's so cool.
It's so cool that they did that. And that's another thing. Like that coin, just like, it's just wasted potential. Like they're so cool. Like you see the dragon, because like I've seen other pictures of like the coin because it's been a while now. People have like auctioned it off and shit. But seeing the little dragon silhouette just like for the dragon sword just makes you think, man. Makes you think.
That was the we talked about things that they advertised and didn't use.
Yeah.
The coins have the animals in them when you shine through it. And then they're just like, oh yeah, these animals are just because they were the top of the food chain on Earth. Like they don't matter at all. These suits not tied to these animals.
Yeah, so the coins just having them, that's just a coincidence.
Yeah. It makes no sense at all.
Yeah. We actually tattooed that on after the fact.
they rewrote this movie at some point.
I'm telling you, man.
Whatever that point was after all these toys went into production.
Sure. That's probably true. That's probably true.
Jem, final. Oh, go for it.
I was going to say, we were talking about like money shots. One of my favorite scenes is when Billy dies and they go through his pockets to get his phone or whatever and they get that note. It says, we should start a band. I literally just fucking, like, I lost it. I was like, fuck, no, dude, I can't watch this.
You're like, that was it for me.
No, it's so, oh my God. Like, he is the best part. But you know, I will say, right after that, when they're in the base, and Jason looks at Billy and he's like, I would have taken my life for you, or like, I would trade my life for yours. I kind of believe that. But then Zach's like, me too, man. And Trini's like, me too. Why?
And you're like, I don't believe any of that.
Why would you trade your lives? A couple hours ago, Trini, at the campfire, you were telling us if we were Power Rangers or if we were just friends, which by the way is a corny ass line. But like, you were just fucking doubting us and this friendship. And now you're going to die for Billy? No, I don't buy it. I'm sorry. I don't buy it. So that was one of the things where I was like, Sophia too. She was like, why, Zach? Like, why would you? Like, they just got close. I don't know. Just a little pep.
Billy is the the Agent Coulson of this movie.
Right, he is. He's the one that ties everyone together.
His death is the call to action.
Yep, they're like, we gotta avenge him now.
Yeah.
We gotta be the Power Avengers.
I think that's a part of Avengers that a lot of people forget of, like, you know, all these fools hated each other until Coulson died.
That's true. No, 100%. Actually, you know what? The last thing I wanted to say, this movie, these will be my final thoughts, so whatever you want to say after this. This movie, the first hour, kind of cool. Like, I fuck with the first hour so heavy. The second hour is like around the time where like Billy died, or no, sorry, it's around the time the team does the campfire situation. Like, that's around where you're getting to like the kind of like the hour mark. And after that scene, things start going downhill. Cause then you get like Trini having this weird sexual scene with Rita. And then the Rangers are about to jump this guy in a chair because they think it's Rita. And they're like, yo, let's whoop this dude's ass. And the guy's just sitting there just like, what's up? Like, there's so many things that happen. And like, then Billy dies. There's just so many things that like are cool, but that are just like boom, bam, pow. And like things that just, I don't know, again, in a 3-hour movie probably could have felt better. But like in this context, I was like, man, this is kind of like the worst half of the movie. But that first hour is literally Spider-Man 1, Sam Raimi. It's literally just classic superhero origin story of like kid having a kind of like shitty life, being bullied. Oh, gets the power. They even have the waking up scene of like, oh, dude, I'm fucking...
Yeah, I'm ripped now. Oh, my
God, yeah. Just like, even Kimberly, she's like breaking her phone and shit. It's like, this is Spider-Man 1, guys. I've seen this movie before, you know? but like, I think maybe that's another reason why I love this movie, because it does feel very origin story. Like, it feels like classic superhero first movie. So like, I'll always love it for that. I love the cast. I do have my pet peeves and the things that I don't like about it. But I think those are the things, like you were saying before, that maybe could have been solved in the sequel that we'll never get now. But at the end of the day, I think I'll always cherish this movie for what it was and the time in my life that it came out, because that's, again, it was when I was in college. I was meeting Sophia. We were just dating. So it means a lot to me.
One of the Sam Raimi-esque things that doesn't get explained is how they end up in bed after being hit by a train.
most random scenes ever. And like the Zordon nightmare Rita scene was also kind of nowhere. Yep. Like if you see them...
the Dragon Zord,
because if you don't see them fall back on the ground in the base, you're like, wait, how did we get here? Why is Rita just like sucking their souls?
Yep, and that's the kind of stuff that makes me feel like there was an original script to this, and then somebody said, hey, we need to change this, and then they were like, okay, we'll keep this part, and we'll keep this part, and we'll keep this part, but we're missing like these important things that explain things in this movie.
Yeah, man.
But like you said, the last hour is just so weirdly like, hey, we're almost there.
Yep.
A couple more steps and we would have been right there for this to be a really good Power Rangers movie. I love almost everything outside of the suits. I think it's a very good Breakfast Club-y type. Like you said, Sam Raimi, Spider-Man 1. It's such a good coming of age style story for these five teenagers. And as much as the Trini and Zach get the like shaft of not character development, all things that we could have took care of in the sequel. But like you said, I'm never going to hate this movie. I'm never going to be like, this movie sucks. This movie, I will always watch it when I want to. I will always make me cry at the part where they carry Billy like Jesus throughout Angel Grove.
Yeah.
It's just a good movie. And like it being a Power Rangers movie, I'm happy that we have it. I'm okay with a reboot happening. I would have loved a sequel because this cast is phenomenal. Simple as that. But overall, I really enjoy this movie.
100%. Also, Roy from The Office is in it. So
is he the dad?
Yeah, he's the dad.
Jason's dad.
Yeah. So funny that he's the dad. And throughout the whole movie, Sophia and I were just like, all right, he has to go back to Pam. We get it. Pam doesn't want you, Roy. That's why he's pissed.
That's why he's pissed. That's why he's mad at Jason.
Oh, you know what? One last thing. The slap. What are the best parts? The first slap, not the slap at the end. Not the Megazord slap.
Insane Spirit mentioned it, yeah. He said, I only remember one of the bullies because Jason slapped him.
Dude, it's the best. Because I don't know about you, man.
I did just slapped you.
Yeah, yeah. I don't know about you, but when I was in, let's say, elementary, intermediate school, I remember slapping the shit out of this kid. Because he said something about me. I think he said something about my weight or something. But I just went up to him, and I just stared at him. And he was just like, what are you going to do? And then I just slapped him. I wanted to punch him, but my hand was just open. So I ended up just like slapping him. But that was the first time I was like, man, did I just slap that guy? And when they said that, when they said, did you just slap me? I was like, holy shit. Like, what the fuck? That's so weird. But like, hands out, one of my best parts. One of my favorite parts. The first slap again.
Yeah, he's so cocky about it. It's just, I did just slap you, and I was like,
I love that.
Fuck yeah, that's cool as shit, dude.
Best Jason.
Jem, where can people find you?
Shit, man, you can find me, Jem, at Pronghorn Heroes on any social media site other than Facebook. I'm not on there. So if there's a Pronghorn Heroes on Facebook, it's not me. And you guys need to what's the thing? Report them. Thank you.
Report that person.
Report that fake Pronghorn Heroes on Facebook. But everywhere else, on TikTok, YouTube, Twitter, Instagram, you can find me, Jem, at Pronghorn Heroes. I like to do a bunch of stuff with the Tokusatsu genre, and I react to a bunch of stuff on the Pronghorn Reacts channel on YouTube. But other than that, you can find me, Jem, every Wednesday with my dude Hawkillies for the Tokusatsu World Tour podcast.
At twitch.tv/Hawkillies, where you can find me here most days over at 6 p.m. Pacific or 7 p.m. Pacific, depending on. But you can also find me at youtube.com/Hawkillies, where I do a bunch of dumb videos all the time.
Yo, dude, what are we doing next week?
I was going to say, Jem. What are we doing next week? I have a suggestion.
Okay.
And you tell me yes or no. I kind of want to watch the first episode of Tiga next week.
Tiga. Okay, sure. Yeah. Why not?
Yeah. Because we did Dinah. And so, like, I feel like we should go back and do Tiga.
Friggin', man. Why not?
Either that or Soul Brain. What do you want?
Oh, Soul Brain has been on my list, but we can save that for the next time we're by ourselves.
Okay.
Yeah. Let's do Tiga.
So next week, Ultraman Tiga, episode one.
Let's go, baby. And that's available on YouTube or Tubi?
Oh.
Well, hopefully.
Y'all, we've had this problem the last at least DVD, three episodes.
But the streaming aspect has been hitting us lately.
It's on YouTube. It's not on an official YouTube. It's okay. Just on somebody's random YouTube. Right, but so Soulbrain is. Do you want to watch Soulbrain?
Sure, yeah.
All right, Soulbrain, episode one. I will drop it in the chat right now.
Boom.
Soul Brain, episode one, over on Toei Tokusatsu World's YouTube channel.
That's how we do stuff over here, everybody.
I only thought of Soul Brain because somebody posted a GIF or a short video clip of Soul Brain fighting Wind Specter this week on Twitter. And they weren't in costume. They were fighting outside of costume. And I was like, man, Wind Specter is the baddest motherfucker on the planet. Like, man,
he crossed over to shows. He's fucking decayed.
Yep. Which, like, is crazy that it's never crossed my mind of like, oh yeah, dumb, Metal Heroes probably crossed over at some point,
right? Well, fuck, man, that's exciting. I can't wait to watch Soulbrain now.
Soulbrain episode one. Jem, thank you for hanging out.
Thank you for hanging out, man. What a
thank
beautiful
you
podcast.
Everyone in chat for hanging out for the Tokusatsu World Tour, myself and Jem, we will see you next time.